Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
This morning, we are beginning a new series titled Kingdom Investment. Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to explore how we can steward our time, our talents, and our resources. And we do this to make a bigger kingdom impact. This series is designed to challenge us. No, this is not a New Year's resolution sermon today. Some of you... I was hoping somebody was going to say thank you for that, but apparently you want New Year's resolutions. But I would say this. I think the beginning of a new year is a great time to reevaluate where you are spiritually and ask yourself, how effective am I being for God's kingdom? And where changes need to be made, make those changes. How many of you, by show of hands, have done a New Year's resolution and it's stuck? Two out of close to 100 people in here. That's not a very high success rate. I believe we should all have a desire to make a large impact for the kingdom of God if we say we believe in Jesus Christ. All of us should want God's kingdom to grow exponentially. Having said that, today we're going to begin, as Pastor Rachel said, with the stewardship of our time. Let me begin with a question. Have you ever felt like there's just not enough time in the day to do what needs to be done? By show of hands, who feels like there's just never enough time? How many of you have ever said that? I just don't have enough time. I really appreciate, Pastor Rachel, that you did that illustration. I wish I would have thought of that first. That is a great illustration that she did, because it's not just for the kids. It applies to us. It's not that we don't have enough time. We're not using it properly. Between work, family, school, running errands, and the unexpected interruptions of life, it can be easy to feel overwhelmed, can't it? I've had those moments when I look at the clock or I look at the calendar and I wonder, where did my day go? Or as I did just a few days ago, where did 2025 go? How is it 2026? How is my kid, my oldest, going to turn 16 this year? I don't feel like I'm old. How is that possible that I have a kid that's going to graduate high school in 3 years? That's crazy. Where did the time go? In those moments, I often realize about myself that I have been more reactive than intentional. I realize that I have not been stewarding my time well. I've let the calendar control me as opposed to the other way around like it should be. Here's something I want you to carry with you today when you leave this place, and actually throughout the sermons, throughout this whole sermon series, because this principle will apply to our talents and it'll apply to our money as well. Time is not just something that we spend, it's something we steward for God's glory. It's about worship. How we use our time is how we worship. We all live in a culture that glorifies busyness, don't we? We wear our packed schedules like a badge of honor. You hear people sometimes, they'll compete with each other. Oh, you had to do that today? Well, I had to do this. You laugh, Mike, because you know it's true. I've done it. I've done it with my wife. She's like, well, here's all the things I did today. Well, I did this today. We wear it, don't we? Like, it's a good thing that we have so much stuff going on in our life. You have one thing after another thing after another thing. But it made me wonder as I thought about this. Do we ever stop to ask, is this how God wants us to use the time that He gives us? Are we stewarding, are we using properly the time that God blesses us with? Because whether you believe it or not, every second that you're above ground is a blessing. It's an opportunity. I've told you this story before, many of you have heard this, but there's a guy at my last church named John, and he's an old guy, and he's one of those church mouse type guys that's just always there. He's like 80-something years old, and he's fixing things in the church, kind of like Ed Lucas. And he's just like the greatest salt of the earth kind of guy. And I would say hi to him if he would be in the church on a particular Sunday or a particular day of the week. And I'd say, "How you doing, John?" And he had always the same sort of response. "Well, I'm not looking at the grass from underneath, so that's good. God's blessed me today because I'm above ground. I'm walking." I don't know that all of us have that attitude, do we? Time is one of the most precious resources that we have. Unlike money, we can't earn more of it. Once it's gone, it's gone. If you've wasted time, you ain't getting it back. And yet, many of us live as though we have this unlimited supply of time. I've heard teenagers throughout the years say things like, "I'll do that Jesus stuff when I'm older." Older may not come. I can tell you one person right now wants more time, and that's our friend Perry. And I believe God's given him more time, but that's neither here nor there. Life is precious, isn't it? The moments we have are precious. How many of you have ever, or even right now, kind of feel like all you're doing in your life is running on a hamster wheel? Sure, you're in motion, you're moving, but there's no forward movement, no forward momentum in your life. What if we began to see time not as something to manage, but as something to actually steward, something that God has entrusted to us for His purposes? We're going to look at just a couple scriptures today. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. This is the passage that Pastor Rachel mentioned. Simply says this: "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do," I always love, by the way, Paul, he always adds at the end of lists this like catch-all term. Like when he's talking about the sins of the sinful nature, he says, "and other sins like these." This is the same sort of thing. Whether you eat or drink, or really whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Put simply, everything you do is meant to glorify God. When you're awake, everything you're doing can be bringing glory to God or not. I've used this example before. If you speed, the Bible says we're supposed to follow the laws of the land. You're not following the laws of the land. So you have to ask yourself the question, if you're a speeder, if you're driving 10, 15, 20 miles over the speed limit, are you honoring God with your driving? If you're the kind of person that cuts people off when you get really impatient in traffic, are you honoring God with your driving habits? If you're standing around the water cooler at work and you're engaging in the filthy stories or filthy language of your coworkers, are you honoring God? Are you honoring God, parents, with the way you treat your children? Children, Are you honoring God by honoring your parents? Because that's actually one of the Ten Commandments. That's one of the ten, okay? Like, it's kind of important. You have to honor your father and mother. As parents, we like that one, don't we? Thank you, God. You see, everything that we do has the opportunity to be worship. In the American church, we've gotten into this, like, there's this music thing that happens, and we call what we do on Sunday morning a worship service. I've told you I hate that term because it limits what worship is. Worship is not just this. This is important. Corporate worship is important. But this is only a small sliver of what worship really is. It's only scratching the surface of worship. Because we can get really good at pretending with this, can't we? We can show up on a Sunday morning and sing the songs. Once we get to know them, we can sing. We can even do the hand raising. If you've ever seen Tim Hawkins, he does his comedy routine about the different ways that Christians worship, like carrying the TV, carrying a bigger TV. There's a whole bunch of other ones. I think there's like a whole graphic that he made that has all of them. But God calls us as Christians to live our lives in such a way that we glorify him through every aspect of our life. You know, even the mundane, even the just routine stuff of our life can be used to glorify our God. This certainly includes our time. We're going to turn over to James chapter 4, and we're going to be there the rest of today. Let's start in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes like that little squirt of water. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, he's really harsh here, it is sin for them. So when you do something that you know you're not supposed to be doing, that you ought not to be doing, and you do it anyway, it's sin. That's a big category, isn't it? He like opens that up for a lot of things. In this passage, James challenges our illusion of control. We really do think we're in control of our lives. Can I tell you, you're not in control? You have an illusion if you think you are. We make plans as if we control time, but the reality is we don't. Time belongs to God. He created it, and it belongs to Him alone. When we know what we ought to do with time, like serving God, loving God, glorifying God, and we choose not to, we miss the mark. In fact, as we talked about a second ago, James calls that sin. Interesting thing to note about this passage from James, in the 12 verses that precede this passage, James discusses the need to submit ourselves to God. Listen to verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's the end of the sermon. Have a great day. That'd be a rough way to finish, wouldn't it? Joy to gloom. Oof. You see, the concept or maybe principle that James is laying out here is counter to what the culture pushes in us. We're told to rely on ourselves. Submit only to yourself and your wants and your desires. But what if God knows us better than we know ourselves? What if he understands what we need better than we do? What if submitting ourselves to God and allowing him to have a voice in the stewardship of our time is actually what's best for us? This leads to an obvious question this morning. How do we steward our time well, Pastor? I believe there are five things we can do to steward our time well. All of these require discipline and intentionality. If you have your bulletin, the notes are right there in the bulletin. Number one, as Pastor Rachel said, start with God daily. Give him your first time, just as when we give our resources, our finances, we give first fruits. Give him the first part of your day. When you wake up, you should acknowledge who he is and pray to him. Have a conversation with him. Begin each day in prayer and scripture. I believe that when we give God our first moments, we align our priorities with his. It starts our day off in the right headspace. We're putting God first in our life, and that is always a wise way to begin your day. That'll never come back void for you. Number two, evaluate your calendar. I know there are many of you that have kids or grandkids, and they have this activity and that activity and this activity and that activity, and you're running like this, like a chicken with your head cut off from one thing to another. Can I tell you that's not healthy? We didn't used to do that. And can I tell you, as your pastor, you don't have to. Your kid doesn't have to be in every single activity that you could possibly put him in. And I'm going to tell you something, as your pastor, it is not good as a parent to take your kid out of church and put them in something else. Your Wednesdays and your Sundays should remain holy for God completely. And I know that for some of you, you're like, Pastor, that's really harsh. You're stepping on my toes. My kid does this or my kid does that on Wednesdays or on Sundays. You don't have to. And if you want your kid to put God first in their life, teach them that. Show them that. Make him first in your life. And you are the parent. Make him first in their life. Look at your schedules and ask, does this reflect God's priorities or my priorities? Make room for rest. And some of you, particularly the board members, are probably thinking, Pastor needs to take his own advice. I'm actually going to be gone in two Sundays, so I can take some rest with my wife. Pastor Rachel's going to be gone. We're going away for a pastor's retreat, so we are going to be gone. We're going to get some rest. Make rest. Make time for worship. Church, I know we want to go on vacations. But I know there are people in this room who go on vacation, and when they do, they don't miss church. They find a church to go to. We were talking about when you guys went up to New York. You went to church. You didn't skip a Sunday. Just because you're on vacation doesn't mean you take a vacation from God. Go to church. If it's not here, go somewhere else. When I'm off on Sunday, I'm in church. I don't take a Sunday off. You know why? Because God doesn't take a day off for me either. Again, I know that might seem harsh, but your vacation's not more important than God. Make room for service. Many of you serve in multiple ways in our community, and I love that, and in our church. There are a lot of you who serve in multiple, many, many, many areas within our church. But if you're not serving, and you say to yourself, I just don't have time to serve. I don't have time to be in the kids' ministry. I don't have time to be on the worship team. I don't have time. You're lying to yourself. You do have time. You just got to reprioritize your schedule. You need to make time for your relationships. Husbands, look at me. This is me pointing the thumbs back at myself. Take your wives on dates. Don't tell me you don't have time. You do. Take your wife out on a date. You're welcome, ladies. If they don't do it, Pastor told them to. Now, I know this is not easy because it may end up meaning tough decisions will need to be made here. But the good news is that God will give you wisdom and discernment. if you allow him to. God will convict you. Maybe right now he's convicting you. Number three, say no to good things so you can say yes to God things. Not everything that is good is something you should be doing, particularly when it conflicts with God or with your relationship with him. That means it's not a good thing, ultimately, right? Just because something is good in some way does not mean that every opportunity to do that good thing is a divine assignment, that God has put it in front of you on purpose. We need to learn to discern what God is calling you to do from what we simply want to do. Does that make sense? You with me? Number four, live with urgency, not anxiety. Live with urgency, not anxiety. This is a big one for many of us, isn't it? Time is short, but that doesn't mean that we need to panic. Living with urgency as opposed to anxiety means we live with purpose, making the most of every moment, every opportunity that God presents to us. And then finally, number five, do the good you know to do now. Do the good you know to do now. Friends, don't wait for a perfect time to obey God. If he's calling you to serve, to forgive, or to act, do it today. If we wait, we may miss the opportunity. God prompts, and we are to move and to act. As my friend and former pastor Eric in Oregon is fond of saying, pray, listen, act. Pray, listen, act. Once God directs, we are to follow. If we truly live like our time is a gift from God to be used for his glory, we will live differently. What if we saw every moment at work, at home, in traffic, or even at the grocery store as an opportunity to reflect Jesus? Let's be a church that doesn't just spend time, but rather a church that stewards it well. Let's be a people who live intentionally, urgently, and faithfully. Remember, as I said at the very beginning, time is not just something we spend, it's something we steward for his glory. Let's steward our time well by starting with God, evaluating our calendars, saying yes to what matters, living with purpose, and doing the good we know to do today.